Hi, it's Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com and Consulting Secrets. Here's a first recording I did with Kevin Fort about what he's been up to in his efforts in growing his consulting business. This section is 20 minutes long. In the following section, you'll hear Richard, Kevin, and myself continuing the rest of the call, outlining many excellent ideas for Kevin to make a more effective presentation in both his seminar and his opportunity analysis. I think by listening in from Kevin's real-world examples out on the street in Arizona will be helpful as you go out and start to grow your consulting practice. Enjoy. Your experience in starting from, you know, nothing into the consulting business would really be helpful for some of the other new consultants. And I can document this stuff as you kind of progress and stick with it and see success, and I think it'd be a lot of value for others. Would that be all right?
I absolutely do not have a problem with that.
Okay, great. All right, remember talking the last time we talked, and you you had the seminar coming up to me. What happened?
Well, the seminar went well, not as well as I'd hoped for, but it went well. We ended up having 6 respond.
Okay.
And
where did you hold it?
I held it at a hotel.
Okay.
In one of their conference rooms.
And 6 people showed up.
Correct.
And the way you introduced the seminar was by the flyer you had shown me.
Correct.
And you did that by mailing it out, sending it out, passing it out.
Any working groups.
Okay.
Didn't do a whole lot of door-to-door. I did do some door-to-door. I actually surprisingly got one client to show up or one prospect to show up mm-hmm. by going door-to-door, which I was amazed that that worked.
That's great. And then the people paid $10 to come in and they got a little breakfast, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you had the 6 people there. You were there. What did you need? How did you prepare yourself for the seminar? In what fashion were you going to present your seminar?
Well, basically, I had downloaded the PowerPoint presentation that you've provided and Richard provided, and basically just touched it up a little bit, threw my logo on there, and changed some of the content, not a lot of it, but just to make it work for my situation.
And what kind of equipment did you have there?
I rented a projector, a 2600 luminous projector, and set that up.
All right. So did you have to create slides, or how did you run the PowerPoint presentation? Did this projector, was it a computer as well, or did you?
I brought my laptop along, and I just took the laptop up to the projector, threw the slides up on the wall.
Uh huh.
And then my wife was gracious enough to come with me, and she basically just ran the computer for me and changed it from slide to slide.
Okay, so you can connect your laptop to this projector and then do a presentation through the PowerPoint.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, great. And okay, so tell me what happened.
The seminar went very well. I basically spent the weekend before the seminar rehearsing, practicing, spending time in front of the mirror, just making sure that I was comfortable and confident with what I wanted to present my prospects.
Okay.
And so after rehearsing that, Monday morning, bright and early, we got up and headed down to the hotel and fired it up at about 6:30 in the morning. Everybody was in the process of waking up, but staying with me.
Uh-huh.
We ran it a total of about, it was an hour and 35 minutes by the time I finished. My actual presentation portion took about 55 minutes, and then we ended up leaving about 40 minutes for questions and answers.
That's awesome. Matt, were you nervous, or are you comfortable and confident?
No, I was actually extremely comfortable. Like I said, I'm used to briefing thousands of people in the military, so speaking with people was not an issue for me. But the main thing that I found that you have to be confident and comfortable with the material that you're presenting in order to present that to the group and not have those nervous thoughts.
Okay, that's great. So was it interactive during the presentation, or did you hold all questions and answers till after?
I held it as an interactive. I feel that that's more beneficial to the clients, because that way, I had a podiatrist there, I had 2 chiropractors, I had a guy that specializes in photograph Harley Davidsons.
Okay.
I had a financial planner that was there. And so just seeing, for them to see the other aspects that these people in these different industries are facing, I felt was beneficial towards them. And so we just kind of opened it up. As I was presenting things on the slide, somebody would say, oh, yeah, either I tried that or, and you know, things that they had found. And so that's the way I like to keep it. I like to keep it loose, interactive. I also found that that helps keep me relaxed and, comfortable.
What was your goal in mind in presenting the seminar, meaning the end game? Were you, did you structure in an offer of what you were going, I mean, did you have a close or an offer? Or what did you have in mind by the end of the presentation that you wanted to accomplish?
My end goal in the was to line up opportunity analysis.
Okay.
So during the seminar, I did not pitch them a sale. The only thing that I pitched them was, give me an hour and a half of your time. Let's sit down and make sure that this system is right for you before you make a decision on whether you want to, proceed forward on this or not.
Okay. And was that, did you stick with that last slide, meaning if you wanted additional, if you wanted an opportunity analysis, that you would be able to set that up for them?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually just set up appointments right there before they left.
Okay.
So those that wanted it, they just set it up with me right there before we walked out.
All right. How many set up appointments with you?
Four. No, I cannot complain about those numbers.
Four out of six? That's excellent. That is awesome. Even though it was only six people, you know, it's the result that you got. If it was 60 people, you would have had 40 people.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? And with 40 opportunity analysis in front of you, I think you could eliminate all your other cold call prospecting, you know, and,
right.
and work with those clients and do referrals. So you set those up, and are you? Have you started doing those?
I've actually finished all of the appointments. I booked those out, took care of those that week, despite my father having a stroke that week.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that.
Care of. He's doing okay. It was just a mini stroke, and he bounced back pretty good.
Good job. Good. Okay. Great.
But, the reason that I wanted to talk to you was what I'm finding is actually getting people into the opportunity analysis is not a difficult task.
Okay.
Basically, all I'm asking for is an hour and a half of their time. I know that their time is valuable, but most of them seem, if I can't get them sold on an hour and a half opportunity analysis, I can usually get them to buy off on a 15 or 30 minute short meeting where I basically further explain how the opportunity analysis would benefit them.
Okay.
So I'm learning that there's a process that you can take the clients through and eventually get them into the opportunity analysis.
Are we saying that your seminar was the process in getting them into an opportunity analysis?
That was one of the techniques that I used to get them into an opportunity analysis.
All right, so you booked these four, and everyone met with you. Let's talk about those four appointments. Who was the first one you met with?
First one I met with was the financial planner.
Okay. Was it a female, male?
Male.
Uh-huh. And did you find some hidden assets within the business that he...
I did. The problem that ended up with him is that he was actually a representative of ING Financial Group.
Okay.
But we were able to look. He's a senior gentleman, and he's within a retirement community, and his problem that he was having was he was having difficulties tapping into that area that was around him,
uh-huh.
all of the senior, because he's within one of those retirement communities, and they're very limited on the amount of advertising they can do and things like that. So he was looking for ideas on how he could tap into that market. And he got some good ideas from me through our meeting and through the seminar.
So would you qualify him as a setup or a startup? Meaning, did he have any existing clients within that area that he could work with? What did he have? I mean, what you're telling me is he needed to learn how to get customers, but did he have any hidden assets within his business already?
He did. He had taken, because he was a financial planner for a different organization for the previous years, and he actually was able to convert those. So he had about 400 customers or past clients that he had in his database.
Okay.
20 of those were active, so I knew that we had about 380 potentials that we could look at reactivating, obviously calculating out those out that had passed on or moved out of state, things like that.
Okay.
So he had some assets that were in place, but not as many as you would like to have for maximum growth out of the system.
Well, what kind of insurance? Well, he was financial planner.
correct. He dealt with 529s, all different types of retirement planning. He sold some insurance, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Did he keep in touch with his clients on a regular basis?
Not his inactives.
Not his inactives.
No.
Okay. Okay. So how did that end with him?
I actually spoke with him this morning, and basically what had happened was that he came back and found out that ING is actually going to provide him some training for his sales and marketing process that he did not know that was available to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a representative of the SCORE group that's down here in the Phoenix area.
Okay, that's great.
So we were able to still, I was still able to salvage that relationship and set something up with him because he deals with so many startups.
Absolutely, that would be that. That's a great. That's great. I mean, SCORE, they refer all kinds of people. Is he real active in SCORE?
Yes, he is.
So did he tell you how many people he's talking to on a weekly or monthly basis?
He says that he's dealing on average with 40 to 60 people, startups a month.
Well, can you tap that? Can you tap those students of his?
That's the reason I was calling you.
Okay.
What I'm starting to see a lot here in the Phoenix area is a lot of the people that I'm talking to seem to, I definitely see a need for this service within the Valley. There are so many companies down here that do not have adequate training or education in marketing. They're expensing large amounts of money on marketing that's not working for them. But when it comes to being a consultant, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, whether mm-hmm. it's just the name and the reputation that goes along with being a consultant,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the fees associated with it, I'm starting to catch that trend because I've done a total of 10 opportunity analysis, and when I go back and present them, I don't call it my proposal, but what I project to them that this is how we're going to do it, and these are the fees that are going to be associated with it. That's what drops it right there.
When at the end of the opportunity analysis, or are you explaining that up front?
Through the opportunity analysis, yes, I'm going through. I take them through the growth matrix, mm-hmm. show them the three ways to exponential growth, and then I show them, based on their growth objectives, how implementing each system or each project within the system can provide a return on investment for the fees that will be provided.
What's the feedback you're getting as you've done these 10 opportunity analysis? Are you selling all the way through? Meaning, let's say when you take them, you know, it's an interactive analysis. You know, obviously they're answering your questions, and let's say you take them through the USP. At the end of each section, you know, of the opportunity analysis, are you getting agreement? Like, you know, Kevin, do you understand how important this USP is and how this can really identify you and separate you from all other financial planners, and how this can put money in your pocket once the systems work out? Do you see how that can work? And you get them to say yes. I mean, you're always closing all the way through. And this is something Richard gave me some advice on, you know. And maybe we can even get some direct advice from Richard on this. But are you doing that during your opportunity analysis?
Probably not as good as I should be doing.
Okay, because your opportunity analysis is definitely, you know, you are fishing and you're looking for hidden assets, but you have to be selling it all the way through. You have to see, are they on the same page with you? Are they in a, you know, are you, okay, so you're not really kind of closing it all the way through.
Not in the opportunity analysis.
All right, well, let's keep going. So what you're saying is, all right, so go ahead and kind of give me a gist of, you've done 10 of them. The feedback is, once you drop the price on them, then no one's interested.
Correct.
And what do you...
It's too expensive. They don't have that in their budget, or they can't justify spending that for those returns. And usually I'll try and reattack on a non-aggressive level, but just say, you know, can you really afford not to do this? You know, what types of expenses are you putting into your marketing now?
Okay.
You know, and trying to bring them back in and make them realize that my fees are a small portion to what their actual objectives are.
Okay. All right, so the financial planning guy, let's talk about some of them. The financial planning guy, He just, his way out or his excuse was basically that he found out his company has some training and he's just going to use that, right?
Correct.
Right. What were you charging for the fees? What were you asking for? Did it vary?
No, I actually came back. I hit him with a proposal and recommended that we actually take all 7 projects into his business.
Mm-hmm.
And was charging him $7.95 per project to do it.
Okay. All right. And the offer was to pay for those as they do it, or did you want it all up front, or how did you structure that?
On his, I was doing all up front.
All up front, okay.
I'm sorry, but the $7.95 would be down before I started the project.
Okay. All right, so he didn't want to do it. Okay, tell me about the next analysis that resulted from that seminar.
The next one was the chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
What
was his situation?
His situation is desperate. He's been in business now for about 4 years in his new location. He was in a different location for 2 years prior to that. Both locations of his have, I don't want to say struggled, but have not done as well as he anticipated when he got into the chiropractic industry.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his problem is he does not understand the marketing aspect. He's a very good chiropractor. He's got a lot of equipment that a lot of chiropractors in the Valley don't have.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't understand how to tell that to his customers.
Okay. Did he have, what kind of hidden assets did you find within his business?
A massive database of clients that are inactive. We're talking about 2,300 to 2,800 inactive clients.
Wow. All in his local area?
Yes.
Okay. From your analysis, did he keep in touch with these guys, or is it just they came in and they never heard from him unless they called back?
They came in and he's never gotten back with them. A lot of them he's only worked on one time.
Mm-hmm.
And once he had done the work on them, the only way he was asking them to come back was when he was actually visiting with them.
Okay.
They, you know, I'd like to see you back such and such date and time. They would never show up, and he would never follow up.
Okay. All right. Did you point that out as a tremendous asset that he had sitting there?
And he agreed, and he knew. And his biggest thing was, well, I don't have the time. He doesn't employ a secretary, so he's running the office, actually doing the technical labor, keeping the books, handling the marketing. So this guy is trying to handle all aspects of his business. And I actually told him that, you know, that was an asset we may look at bringing on in the future, was hiring and training somebody to actually handle that portion of the work for him.
And how did he respond to that?
He responded favorably.
All right. Well, did you say, I know you don't have the time, and that's what I'm here for, and then I can do this for you. This is part of my service. Because really, what kind of time does it take to send out an email or to send out a letter, you know?
Correct. And that's basically what I set up and told him. You know, you need to concentrate on the chiropractic portion. Outsource your growth objectives. You know, let somebody else handle your marketing systems. Find somebody that can come in and implement follow-up systems for clients that are inquiring but not following through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get somebody in here to provide some sales training to you or a member of a staff if that's what you decided to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely knows and understands the benefit of outsourcing and having that help.
All right, so that was the big asset he's sitting on. Anything else that came to your mind asset-wise that he was sitting on?
The equipment that he has and the decompression table that he uses for car accident injuries, spinal and neck injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little bit of research over the weekend and found out that there's only 10 to 15 more chiropractic clinics throughout the Valley that provide that. And the good thing is that they're pretty well spaced out.
Okay.
So...
All right. So as you brought him through this analysis, how was he reacting, and what was his objection? What was your recommendation, your proposal, and what did he say?
Basically, once we finished the opportunity analysis, he was excited. I had taken some letters. He had set up with a real estate agent. And a title company that was sending him a list of new home buyers within his area.
Mm-hmm.
And he had drafted a series of 3 letters, sequential letters that he would send out on a monthly basis.
And he was doing this?
He was doing that.
And this was to generate his customers?
That was what he was using to generate his customers.
Almost all of those on the list, that was his system?
That was his system.
And did you look at the letters?
I did. I took the letters. I took a copy of each letter, and am in the process of looking over the content of those letters and finding out why they're not working for him.
All right. Were they not working, or is this what built his customer list?
He's saying that out of the year, he's been doing this for about the last year.
Yeah.
And this system has only brought him in about 2 to 3 clients.
Okay. For after a whole year. How did, in your impression, looking at the letters, do you see some things that could improve it?
Yes. He's talking, he's not talking on the customer's level. He's writing those letters like he's talking to other chiropractics that understand the language.
Okay.
So a big part of that is just going to be rewording it, and, you know, I explained that to him in the opportunity analysis. When he started talking to me, I said, you know, I said, I'm an expert in the marketing field. I said, so all of the jargon that you use in the chiropractic field, I don't understand a lot of time. And if you don't catch my attention with helping me understand what it is that you're going to do and how you're going to help me, you're not going to get the sell on that.
Mm-hmm. How was who was mailing the letters for him? Was he doing that?
He was mailing them.
He was addressing and stuffing all himself?
Correct.
Okay. All right. It's kind of good that it shows that he got off his butt and was trying something, you know. And the words on the paper were probably ineffective, and that may be. All right, so that's something you showed him, that you know, he made a good effort, but it's what you say on that page that makes all the difference, and that's something you'd be willing to help him out with.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so that was another thing. What else? Okay, so by the time you got to the end, what was your proposal for him?
Last Friday, I finally sent the. I wrote up exactly what we were going to do in the projects based on his objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I emailed that over to him Friday afternoon, and I followed up with him this morning. Very favorable response. He was actually heading out of town, so he was going to get back with me when he got back. I pitched him a cost of $775 per project, and with him, I'm going to do 50% down and 50% at the completion of each project.
Okay. And is he going to, do you think he's going to do it?
I think he's going to do it. I know that he understands that he needs to do it. I think still his biggest concern is whether he can actually afford to do it.
Okay. So, but all he's got to come up with is, to get it, you know, all he's got to come up with is 50%.
Correct.
What, all right, did you pitch him on 7 projects or 4?
7.
On all 7, okay.
I'm also, at the same time, I'm trying to line these up as semi-contingencies and let them know that we will be doing a 7-month implementation if that's what is needed to get their growth objectives reached.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining 5 months will actually be a follow-up process. And that point will actually reduce the fees. It won't be the same project fee, but it'll be a lower fee to just come in and fine-tune and tweak and make sure that the system is properly running within the business.
Mm-hmm. I have for you there's a chiropractor, a very successful chiropractor. Did you ever listen to the interview with the chiropractor, Dr. Greg Nielsen? It's up on the HMA University. And this Greg Nielsen is a chiropractor in a very, very small town. And he's been using a series of letters. They're called soap opera marketing letters. And they're, I don't know if this guy would go for it, but certainly I would listen to that recording. And I've got the series of letters. I did a joint venture with him where I present it to the people. But I think that's something, if you end up working with this guy, you got to check these things out. So it's a series of about 25 letters that he sends out on an ongoing basis, you know, to his patients. And the soap opera letters is, you know, he's kind of the personality of his chiropractic office, and he's got the girls working for him. Doesn't sound like this guy would be the ideal thing, but it would be pretty interesting to listen to in how well he's done just with this direct mail letter technique. Okay, so you talked to him this morning. So this may turn into a deal.
I think it will.
Okay.
I think he knows he needs to do it, and you know I feel like I did really well through his process on showing him, you know, you're going to have to come up with a little bit up front to get started, but once we get the ball rolling on this, you're going to start to see increased revenues that are actually going to cover my expenses plus some.
Right.
And I think he understands that.
Now, if he totally backs out and balks, you can certainly, you're looking at a, I think, you're looking at a gold mine if he's got 2,800 people on his list. And you may want to throw a bone at him and offer a contingency deal, just a real simple thing by looking at his list and you making an agreement saying, look, okay, you don't have the money to come up with it, but I'll tell you what I'd be willing to do. I'll forego my commission based on a contingency deal. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't do it, but if it's going to take you very little time and little effort, you can negotiate with them and say, I'll create and draft a reactivation letter. And I think I have one of those, actually, you can use for a chiropractor. I have to look around. And if he's willing to, do a test to maybe 1,000 of his past customers with a reactivation. Actually, I know I have a reactivation letter. It's called the red ticket letter. I've got one, okay? And you could either pay for the mailing yourself, or you could make the negotiation. I'll forego my commission on this method in reactivating your customers, but you have to pay for the mailing. You give me the list. I'll create the mailing. I'll design the piece. I've got a proven reactivation letter that's been proven to work, used by a chiropractor doing a tremendous business. I'll provide that for you. I'll license you to use that, and then you pay me a percentage on all the business that it generates. Or you can negotiate. You could say, I'll reactivate them, but on all those visits that you get paid that upfront fee for that first visit. You know, you can negotiate whatever you want. Let's say you reactivate 20 or 30 or 40 new clients. You could say you want, you know, 50% of that. And, or you could say, you could also make them this offer. You could say for all that new business that comes in, you take that income that's generated through this reactivation letter and put that towards my consulting fee, meaning that up to the $795 times 7 projects, all that money that comes in for my reactivation letter goes to me for you to pay for my consulting services. Do you see? So you'll do it to finance the consulting services that you'll provide for them. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right, that's an idea. That's a worst case, no lose situation. You know he's got a list, and you know he's got that's very valuable. And if you could get people back into that office, and he can get them as customers, you know that. You know, I'm sure he's got dead time in his office. Is he sitting there twiddling his thumbs on some days because he doesn't have enough patients?
You bet it.
Okay, so what's he got to lose?
Exactly.
All right, but only as a last resort.
Right.
All right, tell me about another one.
I've got a 10 o'clock appointment.
Yeah, you want to talk later? Please continue to part 2.